Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Know Thyself. And before we get into that topic and explore it further, I must mention to you that we're giving you a gift today. It's a paper, and we'll talk more about that gift later on. So stay with us and hear more about it. Today's theme is the ancient psychology of the Delphic Oracle. Man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe. And you'll find that on the Delphic Oracle, actually. And why is it so important to know oneself, and what does that really mean?
It's one of those great mysteries. Obviously, if the Delphic Oracle said it, and we still haven't figured it out, it goes back several thousand years. Man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe. I think this implies that the human being contains within his innermost, truest self the imprint of the whole universe, because we are all of us a part of the universe. We are representative of the universe in the sense that the ageless wisdom says the great law is as above, so below. Human beings function according to the same laws that govern the universe as an entity. We're not separate from it. But I think the problem in knowing ourselves is that we don't know who the self is, who the I is. A lot of us probably mistake our role in life as mother or friend or citizen for who we are. Or we might mistake our paycheck, our salary, our net worth for who we really are. I am a rich person. I am worth 5 million, or I am a poor person, that qualifies who I am. We mistake the outer personality for who we really are, and the very word personality comes from persona, which I think is a term meaning mask. The ancient Greek theater presented dramas with the actors wearing a mask, and that's what the persona is. The personality is a mask that hides the true self, and yet we think the personality is in fact who we really are.
And that's probably one reason why we haven't really discovered what the universe is, because we haven't discovered what man is yet, truly we're still pretty much looking at the physical man, just as we are looking at the physical universe. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we recognize that they are similar laws, the same laws that make up the universe also are responsible for our own creation. And we are made of the substance of the universe. And the human is created out of a same similar type of patterns and laws, spiritual laws, that of which the universe is made. And there is a consciousness and a self contained within what we call man. And probably there is, if as above so below is true, then there is this consciousness and beingness in those other great planets and solar systems of the universe.
The very term psychology, I think, gives us a key, because psyche means soul, And logi comes from the Greek word root logos, meaning word. So psychology is the word of the soul, or that you could say the note of the soul. The understanding of the human being then is the recognition of the basic initiating power of the soul, which is one with all souls. And yet when you think about modern psychology, which is quite a modern science, it really started basically with Freud, didn't it? It's mostly concerned with the persona, the outer aspect, with the personality and its problems and deficiencies. Only a relative few psychologists have really concerned themselves with understanding the soul. Jung was one. Asa Gioli, the great Italian founder of psychosynthesis, was another. They recognized that when you peel away the outer layers of the personality to the essential inner being, then you are getting at a true understanding of the self.
And that, that brings up an interesting dilemma. How do you discover that self? And it relates to what you said about God being immanent in mm-hmm. the universe, and immanent within, mm-hmm. and transcendent also.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that relationship there between the spiritual within and the spirit without.
In fact, the Hindu teacher Radhakrishnan said that the supreme, meaning God, is within mm-hmm. us. God's light dwells in the self and nowhere else. It shines alike in every living being, and one can see it with one's mind steadied. Aha! That's the key. Mm-hmm. With one's mind steadied, then you can see this inner being.
Yeah, it takes a certain amount of control over the mind and the mental nature and the emotional nature to bring everything to a point of peace and quiet.
I think it also requires an ability to peel away layer upon layer of encrustation, like a mollusk at the bottom of the ocean builds layer upon layer of sediment around himself. So does the personality over many lifetimes build up layers of experience and of assumptions about himself or herself that have to be peeled away, because the ageless wisdom speaks of the self with a capital S, which is the one self. We are linked with all of our fellow men on the level of that higher self. And then there is the not self, which is the personality. And I think it's interesting that it's defined by a negative, the not self, because you mentioned having to peel away or to discard.
Through a process of elimination, you discover the self by eliminating everything that it is not.
Yeah.
And it is not this physical body. It is not the emotional nature or the feelings, or it is not even the mind. It is something else, something other than that. And if you strip away or eliminate all of those, all of that threefold aspect of the personality, what are you left with? You're left with being.
Well, that question is where some people experience their breakdown, when they have to realize they are not their beauty, they are not their salary, they are not their net worth, they are not the status in the community that they have cherished and struggled to attain, they are not their fame and the good opinion of the people they admire. And when they realize that none of that really defines who they are, they don't know what to do. And actually, at that point of breakdown, one enters into a very constructive state of receptivity to a new understanding. So I'm not saying that's necessarily a terrible thing.
But I think this is where psychology is today, pretty much. They may recognize this place of a self, but really identifying what that self is and finding a place for it in one's everyday life may not have may not have taken place yet in the average everyday psychology.
Well, yes, I guess what you're saying is you have to prepare a place and a space in your own consciousness for recognizing this innermost being, and that's why practices like meditation, reflection, self-examination are absolutely essential. Wasn't it Socrates who said the unexamined life is not worth living? If you don't look, take a look at yourself and see your reflection in your relationships with others, because they are all reflecting back to you who you really are. That's what relationship is. They just mirror back to you what you are basically expressing out of your own force field. If you aren't willing to look at that, then you're not going to recognize yourself, even if it were handed to you on a platter.
And I don't know that if psychology... I'm not a psychologist, so maybe I should...
You can speak freely.
I speak freely. but I don't know if psychology itself recognizes this self in that way of being this being within. It seems to have been reduced to some kind of functions of the brain. And, of course, it's much more than that. But it takes a recognition to go beyond that point, I think.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is Know Thyself. I mentioned the gift earlier, and we'll speak up for a moment about that gift. We'd like to send you a paper. The title of the paper is The Self and the Seven Rays, and it'll help you to explore this topic that we're doing today a little bit further. And also, we'd like to see you as a result of reading the paper. We'd like to see that possibly you might become stimulated in the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of books, and all the dialogue on this show emanates from those 24 volumes of literature, as does this paper that we'll give to you free of charge. And the toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. Just give us a call. We'll send that out to you, and we hope that you enjoy it. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, NY, that is, NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Our website, by the way, is www.lucistrust.org. All the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. A lot of times people are interested in the radio cassettes. If you're interested in our books, cassette tapes, copies of our radio shows, or a schedule of our meditation meetings, or if you'd just like a package of general information, call us at 1-866, once again, 1-866-695-8247, or 1-866-NY-LUCIS. I'm intrigued by what you're talking about the self. I'd like to get to know myself better, and sometimes I think that the director within me is maybe the self, that part of me that decides, I will do this, or I'll focus on that. Do you think there is some truth in that thought?
Yes, there is an inner director. Another term might be an observer. There is an observer within each of us that is not really actively participating in the world, but is standing apart from it and observing. And one can begin to cultivate an awareness of that observer that is somewhat detached from whatever is going on in the outer world, and you can become more able to see yourself in action, so to speak, if you cultivate this awareness. In fact, sometimes you become aware of this director or observer watching, even in the midst of a drama that might be unfolding within your life. Sometimes in periods of real crisis, people will be aware of actually being two selves, the one who is suffering and struggling through the crisis, but also one who is simply observing and watching. And that observer, that director, is the soul, which is enduring and free of pain and suffering, such as the personality experiences, because it is not so totally identified with the physical plane and the outer world where all the pain and suffering happens.
Yes, and this factor of control is very important, because too often, I think it's very much the case with people today, they are controlled by emotional reactions, pretty
desire.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
Desire and fear and anxiety, all of the whole range of emotions, these emotions tend to take over. And that's what's controlling you. You are not in control when those emotions are very prominent and demanding attention. And the whole objective, of course, is to turn that thing around, to turn the controlling factor around, so that you, the soul, the self, the one within this particular personality, become the controller.
The reason we decided to have this program on the psychology of the self was because of something you said last week, and I've been sitting here trying to recall what it was. And I don't really remember it, but you said something to the effect that there is a psychology of the well.
Yeah.
And was that it? And that struck a chord in us, because so much of modern psychology seems to deal with illness and neurosis and sometimes psychosis, with what's wrong with me, I'm not happy, what's wrong with me. But there is an understanding of the self that identifies our basic wellness and, as Asa Joly and others have said, our basic goodness. Most people are fundamentally at base good, but they are in various stages of achieving that goodness. We are works in progress. We're not finished. God isn't finished with us yet, as Jesse Jackson said. Be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. We're works in progress. We're developing. And to me, one of the liberating things about psychology is that it identifies, or it helps us to see ourselves, whatever we are, as essentially what we have to be and what we need to be. In other words, we might not express our basic temperaments and our basic tendencies very well, but that urge that makes us head in a particular direction is what we need to be. What I'm getting at is the study of the seven rays, which is this paper we're offering, identifies the seven basic attributes of divinity, which are will, love, intelligence, harmony, knowledge, devotion, and law or order as basic psychological drives. And to me, this helps us understand people and to accept them as works in progress who are becoming what their soul demands they be. Especially when you look at children, we all tend to label children the little bossy one, the little dictator, the little peacemaker, the little mother. These are tendencies that we get labeled with as children, and they stay with us all our lives, and we feel that they identify something that's not quite right or acceptable about us. But we can begin to take those tendencies and see that this is what this human being must become. The little dictator is someone who has to become a true leader. The little mother is someone who must love and nurture. One who is obsessed with detail is one who is on a path of perfection that will unfold in its proper way given time. So to me, there's a very loving view of human nature in this understanding of the seven rays.
And that's another whole basis for psychology. You mentioned the psychology of the well, and that's exactly what it is. If one can apply these seven rays, which are essentially seven basic divine qualities that are manifest through every human being, and we look at those and we study those rays, and we find out that this is what we're made of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another whole phase of psychology, of looking at oneself and strengthening your self, your outer personality self, and also your inner soul self, and bringing that to the foreground and saying, this is what I am. And because I am made of these energies and these qualities, and this is the way it's meant to be in this particular lifetime.
It also reaffirms that, as Radhakrishnan said, that the Supreme is within us. God is within each one of us. And through these seven rays, we begin to identify our essential divine tendency. We're not a perfect expression of harmony or of spiritual will or of love, but we are working in that direction. We're unfolding. And the psychology of the well helps people to become more of their best self. Instead of focusing on neuroses and deficiencies, maybe we could foster more of what is already sound and healthy within a human being and bring that more to the surface.
Absolutely, and the more, especially to bring to the surface the qualities of the soul, because the soul is also on one of these seven rays, and that is the basic quality towards which you, the individual, should be working.
I think to get at that quality, though, we have to peel away and strip away a lot that gets in the way of our understanding of ourselves. And modern life, we all realize, is so complicated. And yet the writings of Alice Bailey speak of the simplicity of the soul. So we aren't going to find that true self until we learn to simplify our life, simplify our thinking, our reactions.
And a study of the rays can help to do that. One has to, as you say, strip away a lot of the glamour and the illusions that we've built up around ourselves.
And the distractions.
Yes, and all the material distractions, they give us a false impression of who we are. And a study of the rays can help change that.
And once again, the complete title of that gift is The Self and the Seven Rays. So just give us a call and ask for The Self and the Seven Rays, and we'll be happy to send it out to you. The phone number, once again, is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.